feel all right now.
Hey, I feel all right now.
Do you feel like I do right now?
Do you feel like I do right now?
Motivated.
Motivated.
Sky high.
Sky high.
Rock steady.
Rock steady.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can do it.
I can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
Welcome to the Airsoft No Sim Tactical Training Podcast, anytime, anywhere.
All right, folks, welcome back to another installment of the Airsoft Milsim Tactical Training Podcast. It is February, first podcast of February, 2015. I'm still looking for my hovercraft. Well, I've been sitting here thinking about this week's topic, or this couple of weeks' topic, and something that's kind of been bouncing around in the old G2 up there, the Brain Housing Group, is how we always talk about training, but we don't talk about the aspects of how you test your training. Yes, of course, everybody understands that when you go out and you play, you're testing your training. But in reality, you're not necessarily testing it, you're putting it into application. And that can be difficult at times because you're basically in a live environment at that point. So if something doesn't work, you can't necessarily iron it out real quick on the spot and move on. You just kind of got to improvise and adapt. But to truly get your training and make sure that, you know, what you're doing is a standing operating procedure, how you're training your group up, or yourself as an individual up, those tactics and tricks and tips and everything else, you almost need to face a situation where you have an OP4. And basically what the OP4 is this is an opposition force. Now, in a lot of cases, people hear OP4 and they think, oh, those are the guys that are put on missions that make me, I can go and I run against and I win. No. Opposition forces aren't there just to let you win. They're not just a token resistance force to allow you to have an objective and have some, you know, resistance against, and then you still win. You should not be winning against the OP4 in all reality. Because if you're winning against the OP4, then that means that you have no further, I don't want to say no further need to grow tactically, but what you're doing is working. The OP4 should in every aspect be a group of individuals that they know the tactics, they know the strategy, they can evaluate you as a whole, sit and watch. You operate as a team, as a group, as an individual. And they pick that apart. And what I mean by pick it apart is they look at every little niche and instinct and aspect of you as a group. And it starts from like day one, from the very get-go of going out on the field. Now see, most situations where you've got an OP4 available, it's typically larger national level events, you know, you can even qualify local events where it's one side against the other. The other side is the opposition force. They are the OP4. But what makes a good OP4 successful? Well, one of the aspects is going in realizing that most OP4 are at a disadvantage already. And that's either through the way the scenario is written or how their force structure is written up, you know, how many personnel they're allowed to have, what types of weapon systems, or restrictions as to where they can operate. You know, they cannot go beyond this point in the terrain. They cannot be this high up on side of something. All the things kind of apply. Now, the thing is that's really limiting it's tailoring it almost to where it feels, in many cases, for the other side to win. And I understand the concept of, you know, we always have to win, we always have to win. Well, and I don't enjoy that aspect of it. If I'm facing an OP4, I want that OP4 to be as dirty, downright dastardly as possible. You know, give them the capability. Okay, so if they've got seven guys, they've got seven guys. Don't restrict them to, you know, where they can operate, how often they can, you know, do this or that or the other thing. Now, the other aspect is the OP4, honestly, should, as I said earlier, should start from immediately from the word go. They show up in an event, and if they're the OP4, they do everything together. They show unit cohesion. They go to chow together. They go to the store together. They move, you know, around together. They're in the same bunk rooms. If they're in bunk rooms, they're in the same, you know, sleeping area. Their tents look the same. Their uniforms look the same. If everybody rolls their sleeves up, everybody rolls their sleeves up. If everybody puts camo paint on, everybody puts camo paint on. Because that immediately starts a psychological aspect. People look at them and they go, wow, those guys are, you know, that group is squared away. We don't know who they are, but they're squared away. And then you go into the aspect of when people come up and start talking, talk to them. You know, be cordial, be polite, be nice, but don't tell them who you are. Well, who are you guys? Oh, we're this team. Oh, okay, cool. So what are you doing here? Oh, we're here to play. And leave it at that. But at the same time, the Op 4 should be gathering intel, should be eyeballing the other, you know, the other groups, oppositions, whatever it is, getting every piece of information they can. Who are team leads? Who seems to be the alpha within the team? You know, who's going what where? What are the uniforms they're wearing? All of that correlates into making the game better for yourself and the others that you're going to be facing. So the utilization of Op 4 in training, this is how you truly test your capabilities. Now, there's been a lot of, you'll see a lot of groups that'll go out there and they have enough people so they'll break up into, you know, opposing forces and training forces, and they'll fight against each other. Now, this is an effective method of using Op 4, but one of the issues you're going to have to watch and pay attention to is make sure that your Op 4 is thinking outside of the box. They're not mirroring what your squad that you're training is doing. Because in a lot of cases, that's kind of what happens. Is your Op 4 has been training with the squad, they've been working together, and all of a sudden it becomes a test of tactics on who does the tactic better. Which you want to have happen, but it's defeating the purpose of having that squad face an Op 4. Because you want to test the squad, not the Op 4. So what you want to do is you want to get an Op 4 that has the capabilities of thinking outside of the box. They can improvise and adapt really quickly. They can think on their feet so that when a squad throws a certain tactic at them, the Op 4 can not only throw that tactic back at them, but throws a different tactic at them. So it forces the squad to respond maybe uncharacteristically. Maybe it makes them adapt to that situation. Maybe it makes them change that tactic. And that's the key thing about Op 4, is always, it's always, always, always about changing the flow of battle. Changing up how everything goes. That's what Op 4 is there for. It's not so that you automatically win. It's not so you have some token resistance. It's changing the flow of the battle. The Op 4 is somebody, a group of individuals that can completely change around a situation inside of an environment just by being there at times. I mean, a prime example of this is when Black Sheep Guernsey happened last year. The Op 4 was up on a hill. They'd gotten attached to, I can't remember which group it was, and they were put up on the hill as a defending force. The defenders of the village were supposed to fall back, and the Op 4 was going to give them cover fire. Well, it kind of happened that way, but the other side was steamrolling so hard and so fast because they were riding a rush of winning that there was little response. Well, all of a sudden, these seven individuals, this Op 4, seven people just stand up on the side of the hill and start sweeping through this valley, start picking up their stragglers from their side, getting them online, using commands, flanking maneuvers. You know, they hit the resistance that was really pushing on them, went through them, and they kept going. And by the end of that fight, the Op 4, with the rest of the what was left of the main body of fighters, had pushed, not only pushed through the whole village, but wiped out the whole other side. And that is a prime example of what Op 4 should do. They are a force multiplier. They are adjuster of the battle tactics. They make you think. So that's what you want that Op 4 to do, and that's what you want people in that Op 4 to cause. You don't want put people in your Op 4 that are just going to, you know, fight a toe-to-toe slugfest. You want them thinking outside of the box. You want them thinking differently than everybody else. You want them to look at a piece of terrain and go, okay, technically, tactically, I'd take the high ground. But you know, in this case here, I'm not going to take the high ground. I'm actually going to go over here and do this over here. So utilization of Op 4 in your training is of vital importance to me, I feel, because it validates your training. It allows you to put yourself into a situation where, yes, you're in a live environment almost, but you can adapt to it, and you can make adjustments right there on the spot. So if you're in engagement with your Op 4, you as the instructor are running the training, they're duking it out, they're doing what they need to do, you can call a ceasefire and say, okay, let's AAR that action right there. What happened? You know, after action review, what happened? Why did you do this? Why did the Op 4 do this? Oh, this makes sense. That doesn't make sense. The Op 4 did this because you did this. It's a tool. They're a tool to be used and utilized. They're also a good way, like I said, to test out all of those functions that you have going on. So if you can utilize Op 4 in your training, do it. But make sure they're a group of individuals that, one, they need to know their tactics very well. And here's some key factors to being Op 4. One, you need to know their tactics very well. Two, they need to work well with each other. I mean, need to be a pretty tight-knit group. Three, it cannot be about bragging rights. It cannot be about winning. It cannot be about losing. It's about making the group better. You know, when you go out as an Op 4, even on a national level events, the Op 4 needs to be the most humble people that you've ever been around or involved with, and in training, even more so. Because the mentality in Airsoft is always about winning. We've got to win, we've got to win, we've got to win. The Op 4 doesn't care about winning. They don't care about stopping, they don't care about going, they don't care about anything else other than doing exactly what their job is, and that's a mission inside of whatever's going on. So if the mission for the Op 4 is to slow down a group, that's what they're going to do. The mission is to stop them from reaching their objective. They're going to do everything they can to stop them from reaching the objective. It's not about the winning. Even if they fail to do that, they're still going to put up as much resistance as possible down to the last person, because that's what they're there to do. So that's those key factors there. You need to have that incorporated. The Op 4, a truly good Op 4 is a very tight-knit group of individuals. They work together, they play together, they hang out together. You know, they talk all the time. They're a group that there's no really room for them to be egotistical. They don't have any, you know, well, we're going to win because we're the Op 4. It's not there. The Op 4 is going to come in and they're going to fight hard and they're going to show. I guess what I'm looking for is the key aspect is their actions are going to speak louder than their words. And if you don't step up to the bar against that Op 4, you potentially may not succeed. Or you may end up in one of the biggest firefights of your life inside of a game or whatever you're doing or training, and you may fail. And that's a key factor, and that leads me into the whole aspect of what the Op 4 is truly about. The Op 4 is there to make you fail. Just as in, and this is a topic that I'm going to look into discussing at a later time, but training, you should not win in training. You should never win in training. If you're doing force-on-force training or you're doing anything else, if you're not failing, you're not learning. Because through failure, you learn your mistakes and you can adjust those mistakes to make sure they don't happen again. Winning all the time gives you a false sense of confidence. I've seen many times, not just in airsoft, but in the real world as well, and, you know, in real training with military and law enforcement, how scenarios have been developed to allow them to win, to give them confidence. Well, the problem is with that is when they're actually facing a true-to-life situation, they expect it just to be a rollover. They expect it to step out there, and just because I'm there, I'm going to win. So they don't bring their A game. It's the same concept in airsoft. If you're going to go out and train, you train to fail. Because that concept is what gives you the ability to see your mistakes, your failures. You look at those and go, okay, you know what? We did this. We went left instead of going right. We should have gone right. We can fix that now. We know this is going to work. You know, you didn't check your overheads. Why didn't you check your overheads? Well, I thought so-and-so behind me was checking my overheads. Okay, so team layout and communication's an issue. We failed in that. Failure is not a bad thing in training. And that's something that a lot of airsofters have difficulty dealing with. Is failing, not winning, it's not a bad thing, because it allows you to look at objectively what's going on and fix the issues or fix those little errors inside your team or group, so that as you move along, you're better at it. And that's what the Op 4 truly is there for. They're there to make you fail. They are a human entity thrown into the middle of a scripted situation that you can't control. And that's the key thing about the Op 4. I mean, I've said a couple things here, but the Op 4 is you can't control them. And that's on a game host level, that's on a trainer level, that's on a player level. The Op 4 should not be controlled. They should have rules of engagement, they should have an objective and mission, and that's it. Let them go. Because that's what they're there for. I have had more fun failing against Op 4 and failing as Op 4 than I have had on many other any other type of situations in a lot of cases. Because if I'm failing as an Op 4, if I'm failing at Op 4, that means one of two things. I did something wrong, or we did something wrong within collectively that allowed the other side to gain the advantage. Not an issue. There's nothing wrong with that, because that means, okay, we learn from this, we go on. We now know what we need to do next. So, the failure concept, train to fail concept, is not something that's new. It's been out there for a long time. So you want to apply that inside of your training when you utilize Op 4. I always tell mine, when I'm using them, be mean. Get out there and fight dirty. Because you're going to be in a situation where the other side wants to win. They want to win just as badly as you do. So if you don't take that concept and go out there and fight to win, even though winning shouldn't be the big issue, but you know it's always the case, you're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to face them correctly and bring enough oomph behind what you're doing. So I always tell my Op 4, fight dirty. You know, make them fail. I want you to beat them. And I do that in my real job, and I do it in Airsoft. So that those aspects always apply. And then everybody's like, oh, the Op 4, man, they were just vicious. Exactly. They want you to fail, because through failure, you grow. And that's the key thing I want you guys to take out of this, is from this conversation and from this, you know, this podcast today, is through failure, you grow. Failure is not a bad thing. I was sitting yesterday, and I had an epiphany, a thought. People often get upset about things. Like, especially in Airsoft, if you lose, I've seen people get physically upset because they lost, you know, at a game. And I can understand, you get out there, you fight hard, you know, I've been in the same situation, you're fighting hard, you're doing a lot of stuff, and yeah, it's kind of disheartening to, you know, see all that effort and work go into something and then you lose. But at the same time, it's like, okay, cool. But I've seen people like just like violently get upset about this. And as a trainer, as a, you know, an instructor, I look at this and I had this thought, and it was like, you know, there's only one real thing you should ever be upset about. You know, people make mistakes. There's only one real mistake that you should ever be upset about. That mistake is if it gets somebody killed. That's all that matters. Every other mistake out there in the world that you could do, it's a mistake. You can learn from it. And if you don't learn from it, then yes, you should get upset. But you can learn from those mistakes. But if you get somebody killed because of a mistake, you can learn from it, but that's like the top of the list there you don't want to have happen. Because at that point in time, you made mistakes before then that you didn't learn from. So you always want to learn from those mistakes, and that's what you're up for, that's what your training allows you to do, is learning from those mistakes. You know, learning from that failure. Okay, so you didn't win. Who cares? You can go back and learn from those aspects, those failures, those mistakes that you made. You know, that's what makes things better, and that's what makes things fun, and that's what you need to grab a hold of and go, okay, you know what? We just got thumped. Let's look at it objectively. Why did we get thumped? Well, we didn't leave rear security. Okay. Nobody's fault. team leader didn't assign rear security. Nobody thought to pick up rear security. Nobody's fault. Now, let's take that mistake, turn it around. So we go out and we do the next game. We're out there. We've made sure we got rear security. We're pushing through. Guess what? They try to do the same thing. Because 99.9% of the time, airsofters are pretty predictable, especially on fields that are restricting in movement. They try to do the same thing, and guess what happens? Instead of rolling you over, your rear security catches them, gives you time to respond. That's learning from a failure. That's learning from a mistake. That's what you can use with your op 4. So a little bit of rambling on that aspect there, and I hope this kind of makes sense to you all. I want to take a few minutes here before I wrap up, because this one's going to be a little bit shorter, because I've got a lot of stuff going on and I've got a lot of planning happening. Announcement, I am in the final process stage of picking dates and setting up the MILSIM Airsoft Skill School, or MASS. I just come up with it real quick because it made sense. More than likely, I'm looking at May, July, and September for dates, times. I have a website that I'm working on right now that it'll be up and going. Some of the things to throw out there that'll interest you all is you will get a copy of my field manual for the school. You get 2 days of full-on 2 days of training with an FTX at the end, a field exercise at the end to kind of wrap up everything and apply it. I'm going to do the tell, show, do method of instructing. I'm not big on sitting down in a classroom, watching a bunch of PowerPoints, and then moving on. It's going to be, I will tell you how to do it, we will show you how to do it, and then you're going to go out and do it. This will be all conducted at Camp Guernsey, utilizing the facilities and the training areas there. There will only be 12 seats. The first class, I'm only doing 12. I may open up further seats, depending. It'll be a case-by-case situation. But at the current moment, we're only going to do 12 for the first class. It'll be a squad-level event. This will broach into other types of classes that I'm looking to incorporate in this. The cost. Everybody's going to be wondering about the cost. And now what the cost includes is the following. Meals all day Saturday. You get to eat at the chow hall through the cost. Sunday breakfast, Sunday lunch, which Sunday lunch is going to be brown bag lunch because you'll be out in the field. But that will be taken care of through the chow hall. They're actually pretty decent meals. Don't have to worry about that. Staying in the barracks. You will be staying in the barracks. Covers your Friday night, Saturday night, possibly Sunday night if you intend to stay. We're hoping that you'll be done by your field exercise early enough, clean up the barracks, and get you all home before Monday morning. The manual, your skills, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to call it quite yet. There will be a little something that you will build as you go along through the courses. Each class earns you something that allows you to build this. They're pretty unique. The 2 days of instruction, full 2 days of instruction, you start at 08 and Saturday night ends at 1900. You start at 08 Sunday morning and it ends when the FTX is finished. So it potentially could go longer than that, or it could go shorter. Vehicle operations. We will have vehicles there that you will get to learn, how to load, unload, what to do with a vehicle, how to operate with a vehicle. So if you have an assault vehicle or you have a tank, whatever, you're going to learn how to operate with them on foot. This course is basically geared towards infantry skills tactics, the basic infantry skills tactics, land navigation, all of those things. The cost, it's $40 per person for the whole 2 days and everything involved, $40. So be on the watch for that, and it comes out. Should be posting up the information here in the next couple of weeks, hopefully sooner. I will have the manual hopefully done up and ready for sale through the website. If you'd like to just purchase the manual, Trying to think anything else. Of course, BB's Not Bullies patches are still available. We're still pushing those out there. If you'd like to pick one up, they're $10 a piece. All of those proceeds are going to go to donations to bully foundations. It's starting to warm up somewhat. We're getting into the warm months, so we're going to be picking up and running some getting out there and slinging some BBs. So, as always, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, if you have a topic you would like to have discussed, you'd like to learn about a specific topic, let me know. Because a lot of times I peruse the internet looking at the kind of the trends of what people are talking about. You know, the hot topics are always like CQB and things of those nature. But those are done to the point where you're blue in the face. So if there's something you want to learn about in field tactics or how to, or you don't know how to do, you're not quite sure, let me know, and maybe that'll become a topic of the podcast. So I hope you're enjoying. Like, subscribe, do all that fancy doodad stuff. Of course, the YouTube page is doing its thing. I still keep putting videos up every Tuesday, the Tactical Tip Tuesdays. I'm really excited about this MilSim school. I've really been working hard on this. This is something that I've been pushing for, it's been an idea for a long time. It's coming to fruition. There will be 3 classes this year. We're going to go with that and see what happens. So as always, I'm going to wrap this up. Apologize, it's a little short, but a lot of stuff going on here. So be safe, be honorable, and I'll see you on the field.
Remember the 4 rules of gun safety. Always treat your gun as if it were loaded. Keep your fingers straight and off the trigger until you intend to fire. Do not point your airsoft gun at anything you do not intend to shoot. Know your target and what's behind it. Always wear full CLAP protection, rated to ANSI Z81.7 standards. Keep your airsoft guns in a case or bag until you are on the field. Only conduct your airsoft activities on approved fields, or on private land with owner's written consent, or public lands with consent of local law enforcement. The Airsoft MilSim Tactical Training Podcast is not liable for any criminal action, injury, harm or damage caused by any person or persons utilizing the information presented. Be safe, be honorable and have fun. Questions or comments, find us on Facebook under Airsoft MilSim Tactical Training Podcast.